Welcome to What's Your Sign? I'm Julia Loken.
I'm Stevie Goldstein.
I'm Lisa Chanoux.
And today we are joined by an extra special guest returning to the podcast, author, astrologer, viral content maker. It's Alice Sparkly Cat. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm having a good day. It's good to see all of your faces again. Yeah. Happy Leo season. The moon is Scorpio too.
All right.
Oh my God. Yes. Good to see you again. Yeah. Last we talked was for your, was that your first book technically? First release?
Kind of. There was like this series where I wrote a book about Cancer. It was like a series with a lot of different people. They're all really great. Writers, really great books. And then it's like a book for each zodiac sign.
Oh, yeah. I think I know which ones you speak of. I feel like we've had other guests who were part of that series, if I'm not mistaken. How's life / astrology been since we last chatted in 2021?
It's good. Yeah. I mean, the world's changed so much, but not at all as well. Just how are you guys?
Good. We've discussed that too. I think like 2020, I'm now in 2023 having this thing where I don't remember if something was 2021 or 2022. Like those 2 years just are entwined with like those release, you know, social, not, I can't say post pandemic because we're still in it, but you know, pandemic years, but we all got married, which is pretty wild.
Are you serious? Everyone?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to be like, these, they've heard about it.
Ad nauseum. Yeah.
Listeners know. Yes. And I'm, I don't know if you know this, but I'm pregnant.
Congratulations.
We've been busy.
Yeah. you know, world's not that different, but also very different.
How has been, speaking, you mentioned the Leo season, this will come out pretty quick after recording, which sometimes that doesn't happen, so this will be released fairly soon. We're in Venus retrograde right now. I saw that there was a chapter about Venus retrograde in your new book. Is calling a book journal appropriate? I keep calling it book journal because you can write in it. It's encouraged to write in it. Aligning your planets. So I saw there was a chapter about Venus retrograde. So I'm curious, you know, I know we just kicked it off, but how has it been for you? Any thoughts on Venus retrogrades for 2023 and beyond? I'm curious, just general Venus retro Leo takes for everybody and yourself personally.
Yeah. I mean, the exercise in the book, I adapted it for like Venus retrograde in Leo. Then did a workshop for like House Witch. It was really cool because it was really fun to see like 8 years ago what was happening because the, you know, the regular cycle. And then, I mean, there was just like, you know, like when you think of love, it's like, oh, like my mind always jumps to like romantic love. But then we're like finding like a lot of different types of love, like love people have for their nieces. And it was just like such a fun experience. And then the exercise that I adapted is like, instead of looking for words, then you're like hanging out with three words. And that's kind of like the three graces. And then those are your companions through the retrograde. I mean, I always think about the, like the story of Venus, like going into the underworld. I actually just heard a new version of that myth with Psyche and Cupid, where Psyche is the one who has to visit Persephone in the underworld. Have y'all heard of this myth before?
Not this version.
This version, so Psyche's in love with Cupid, but Cupid like freaks out, leaves her. He's coming back, but his mother Aphrodite sends her on this quest to the underworld to get her like a day's worth of beauty. And then so it's like about her, and traveling to the underworld. But what's so like kind of funny is that, like, I read about this story in this book called The Birth of Pleasure, and then the new Jeans video is about Psyche and Cupid, and it was released just now, so recently. So it's like, oh my god, Venus retrograde.
Oh yeah, I love that. It sounds very Venus and relational. It's like I'm hearing like a mom involved, and like this person has to go to this, and it's just like everyone. Yeah, like it can be that very love thing. I've been having like a lot of old acquaintance, like friends, like a lot of friend stuff. I mean, I'm also Taurus Venus in the 11th too. So just like, oh right, these relationship pop-ups can be all types of relationships, and maybe not so always narrowed down to people you fucked before or something, or have been in love with before.
I like the underworld story too, because I think that it gets repeated in society in so many ways. I think women are often thought of like, you know, stealing youth and doing these things, especially in the like QAnon spaces where they're like, they drink the blood of baby, or you know what I mean? It's like, that's kind of like we repeat these stories in different ways. And I think that's really fun. Obviously, like it won't be fun if those people are like making laws or, you know, doing stuff that like fucks with stuff, but it is interesting to see it repeated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tripping out on a day's worth of beauty. That's like sending me in a way, because it is like there is something to me thinking about. I looked at the Venus retrograde exercise, and it's so hard for me. I don't know if this is my like Sag, or if I just take it so seriously, if it's writing exercises in general, but it's so hard for me to narrow down and pick. Like, I'm like, something goes off for me for every single word when I'm doing this exercise. I don't have like a one word. So I'm like, oh, how do I choose? But thinking about a day's worth like that is so, I don't know. There is something ephemeral about beauty and about like what you feel, what feels beautiful for a day. And thinking of, you know, especially thinking of us all just getting married, that it's like, you can kind of only look one way, look one definition of something for about a day. And then you could like, your hair can last, you can sleep in it and stuff, but it's not like the same thing. And I'm talking very, you know, literally about physical beauty in this sense. But I think that that is like, I don't know, that there's something very evocative about that to me.
I wonder why it's in the underworld.
Well, there's some, I mean, to that kind of like the, I don't know, that feels like the, and I'm thinking of like the Little Mermaid too, or that kind of thing of like a spell or something, where it would be like, that seems like a permissive amount of time where it would be like, you could go down and they could give you, the underworld can give you one extra day. Like
it's like the, the dark web.
Yeah.
Like of today, you know, you're like, there's something you need to procure that's like not really legal in your,
yes.
You know?
But in order, in order to get beauty that kind of like lasts a day, you do have to, I don't know, I think that there is not only in the just, you know, kind of we don't have light without shadow kind of way, but I think that you don't know, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, like there are things that go into it that are kind of behind the scenes. Again, I'm thinking of like makeup or something, where it's like setting sprays and contours and undertones and things like that that happen that aren't just like, oh, this is surface and nice, and you just like do this. It's like, no, you have to like go deep and know your flaws, or know what you're trying to hide, know what you're trying to avoid. And that's very like underworld to me, to know what to like account for in order to make it look like just beautiful.
Or even like, I feel like this phrase has existed, I have no idea the origin, but like beauty is pain, right? Mm-hmm. Like this idea that you have to put in some suffering to accomplish something that's really magnificent, which could even go with like making art, right? Like it's often chiseling, you know, something from a marble stone, like you're gonna get cuts and things, or like staying up to finish a work, or like there is some level of suffering that mm-hmm. goes into doing something or, that's
what's also the opposite, like when if we think of like stereotypical fashion magazine beauty, it's all like edited incorrect, like you know what I mean, and it's like these people who their job is to like sleep long and drink a lot of water, which is, and get, you know, paid for being beautiful or whatever, when it's like that is actually like problematic in so many ways, and it actually isn't realistic and all of those things. So it is like, I don't know, this idea of, I'm thinking of like Real Housewives glam, right? And it's like, well, it is kind of like icky and underworldish to like get that level of money and then use it to like have great skin. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, to look to for a day. It essentially is a thing that has to get done the next day, no matter what. Well, even that work of art, though, too, is like, I think thinking of, you know, like writing a joke or whatever, like the day that you crack it and that it works at an open mic is great. And then the next day it's about like refining and changing and whatever. I think everything has, not that you can't still like enjoy it, but I think
and
that
maintaining
is,
I would think, yeah, now in some way
now you're thinking about, okay, what else can I write with this, whatever else is that. And it's always going to be a growing, like, mm-hmm. Nothing is going to feel as good as that initial like, oh, I cracked it, and now you'll never have that one thing back again. All right.
Mm-hmm. I also want to just give one I have one shady comment when this is just this is just for astrology Twitter, because I think it's just been very funny this week, where I feel like Venus retrogrades here, these rising signs are gonna have the worst time, and it literally lists like 8 of them. I'm really and I'm just like, oh well, okay, like this is quite, I see why, like it's like, okay, all the Venus ones and then all the angles, but like this is a, like that's kind of a wide net.
Have you been reading my TikTok comments?
No.
On every TikTok, I'll write shout out to the 2 signs not mentioned here, or like whatever they'll be like, these signs are in for it, whatever. But it's always like the one where it's like, if you're this sign, like share this audio for good luck. And I'm always like, oh, good luck to the 2 not mentioned. Like,
oh, I love the TikToks where it'll just be like an angelic Bulgarian child who's like, he's here to wish you luck, you must share him. Like, and it, just like this like deity from the TikTok gods. Anyways, TikTok has broken my brain. clearly, truly, madly, deeply.
Do y'all remember what was going on for you 8 years ago during the last retrograde in Leo?
Try to forget.
Oh, goodness.
Try to forget. Yeah.
I was looking at, unfortunately, Facebook to try to look at that, but I have kind of, I don't know, I feel like I have been hanging out with people that I used to hang out with in 2015, which is real weird, but I don't know, I think I was like doing a lot of stand-up, which is what I am doing now too, so mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, yeah, yes, I'm like, I'm trying to decide how much I want to disclose about it, not because it's like juicy or anything like that, but it's one of those things where I feel like this happens.
We should do the juicy version of this on Patreon. We'll do like the like honest version, like the names version on Patreon.
Yeah. Yes. And well, it's not even that. I'm just going like, oh, I'm recognizing that I'm in a similar like emotional place too. And I'm putting things together. And so it's not like, oh, this happened. I don't want to go into details. It's more like, I think I was in the beginning stages of my relationship with my now husband, but also leaving a job transition that like, or like wanting to transition out of a job that feels similar to an emotional space that I'm in now, if that makes sense. And going like, oh yeah, this is familiar. This is definitely like what emotionally the space that I'm in when I think Venus retrograde, like what might happen or what's going on or whatever, like what am I, mm-hmm. I don't know, not necessarily worried about, but like this is what it's triggering, is these things.
I mean, I moved to LA last Venus retro. Like, mm-hmm. The shadow was the buildup. Like, I mean, the intention was set in 2014 to move in 2015. And I can't remember how much detail I went into it, but I was moving with an ex. And in the shadow phase, trigger warning, sexual assault, I'm fine now. But like, I had like got groped by a stranger. And my like ex at the time did not do anything. Like, just like didn't have like a response of protecting me or doing any shit, so I had to like protect myself, and I was like, that's it, we're broken up, we're done. But we had to move to LA together like a month later, so it was like this decision of like, do I just still go even though like I know this relationship's over, but like I really like I have to go to this place, like something is calling me to go there. And I like just remember, like, I felt like so fake. Like, I was just like, you know what? Like, this sucks. And I don't even agree with this. But like, I just think I felt like a mother in like a Lifetime movie. Like, I just got to get to LA. And, you know, I got to get there for my kids or like something. Like, there was something where I still just, I knew it wasn't perfect, but I just had to get to the next phase. And I knew I'd figured it out from there. Not encouraging that behavior for anyone or endorsing, just a true, honest hour of like where I was and how I was like, this, we're going to be done. We're going to break up a calendar year from the date of arrival, which we did pretty much exactly. So that was wild. And I'm glad it worked out the way it did. But at the time it felt so wrong and not like it was going to end up good at all. But Ace, any major 2015 things that came up or that theme? And I'm backtracking a bit. I do feel now like I've been here 8 years and now there does feel like I've been having this, like, do I stay or do I go do something different? Like, there is this 8 year cycle of like, okay, that time I was moving and doing something new and setting new roots and like having like a lust for life. And I think I am trying to freshen where lust for life are percolating.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ace, what about you? Where were you in 2015?
I mean, 2015 was terrible. So, like, yeah, like the worst year. I'm Aquarius rising. It's angular for me. I was actually, so I was married for 6 months in that summer. And then that was when I was getting divorced.
Oh, my
divorces
goodness.
Divorces are just like, it's so hard, you know, it's a whole process.
Oh, yeah. My God. Whoa. Yeah.
But I'm thinking about 8 years before that, too, 2007. You know, I was like in high school. And then I think that's when I started meeting Asian American artists. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I met like artists who were Asian American. And I started, there was like a city council, like a candidate who was trying to like not run to win, but she was like, she's Asian American. She was trying to run so that she could build a coalition of people of color in Iowa, in the Midwest. So I was working on that with her a little bit. And then, yeah, it was kind of like the first time I met actual artists who were Asian American. So that was kind of cool.
That's so cool.
So a lot of literal romantic, ending, mm-hmm. I mean, divorce, that's, wait, you're married for six months. Whoa,
yes.
This is, okay, yeah. We will have to get a Patreon going.
Yeah.
I need the juicy details.
Well, if you're married for under 6 months, you can get an annulment. But if you're just over 6 months, like me,
then you have to still go through the full divorce process.
Exactly.
Whoa, yeah. Wild. Mm-hmm. But then,
where
also
were you
some...
6 months ago when I was just 6 months into my marriage?
Yeah, this is a good fun fact for people to know. Just so you know, does it vary by state or like where you live?
I don't know. I was in New York, but okay. I have no idea.
For all of us Venus, for the Venus retrograde listeners, you can get out. And under 6 months might be a little easier.
Find out your state's window of time and just keep that in mind. Just have that in the back of your mind, you know.
The how to annul and how to divorce guide to Venus retrograde. But we talked a bit on our Venus retrograde episode. I'm like a Venus retrograde fan. I'm very Venusian, but I feel like I get organized and like, I don't know. It's just like chores get done. There's just this like true quantifying check-in that I have tricked myself to enjoy, I think, as well. In the Venus mix.
When you said 2007 too, that also, I was like, oh God. Yeah. Like another rough time. But also I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that tracks, that that's my like Venus retrograde, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is my cycle.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I came in 2007.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, and then like, this is not true of everyone, but for me, the marriage was the hard part and the divorce was the maybe like the better part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, that realignment that comes, I think, in a Venus retrograde, which I think that, you know, people get afraid of, breakups. And I think that that has this like connotation of something that comes out of nowhere that you weren't expecting, or something, instead of this, especially in Leo, kind of return to self, return to what you know is right for you, return to what's important, return to what you need to do to persist. And I think that all of those examples are like, yeah, ones where you're making a decision where it's doing what you need to do.
Yeah.
I have had a lot of like old memories coming back in weird ways, which I think is always fun to dig into during retrograde times, regardless of what planet it is. I just kind of journal on those things too.
Yeah, I'm curious about the conflict mapping that you have in the journal, Ace, too, that was like very moon related to Mars and Venus. Can you maybe even tell our listeners a bit about aligning your planets? And I'd love to just know a bit about this conflict mapping, or how this part might, you know, since it's working with like another in very theme of our this kind of Venus retrograde conversation, how this all sort of came to be.
A lot of the worksheets are different worksheets I made for like the group. I have a monthly group, or a group that meets up monthly, and then I'm always making different worksheets for them. Sometimes they're like really weird, and then sometimes they're like, okay, like this can go into a publication, so
publication approved worksheet.
Publication approved. But yeah, I mean, I just made a zine for them. I translated. There's this like ancient script from China called the Di Tian Sui, and it's Drips of Heavenly Meryl. So I translated three poems in that. And so yeah, just different things. But you know, like the worksheets we kind of gathered and then made into this workbook that you can try out. This is something, it's like, you know, all the exercises, they're just kind of things I'm like trying in different ways. Some of our techniques I try with clients too. But I hope that people feel like they can adapt them. Like they don't treat it like, you know, rules with, or like, you know, games with like rules that you have to follow, but maybe like suggestions of things that you can just kind of like use to do different things. Like the way that you like to do them too, like the conflict mapping. It's like, I mean, wouldn't it be cool if we could sit down with someone we have a conflict with and then just map out Moon and Mars, and then you like kind of use that to have a conversation about what's going on. So that's the idea. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be appropriate to conflicts that people are moving through, and then they can adapt. Yeah.
I love that. And that's a good reminder, I think, for astro stuff that can feel so like, how am I doing this correctly? Or like, is this the way to do it, where it's just like, it's not, I don't know. Yeah. There's not some overlord like wrong. Like you're not looking at your moon, you know, in this right way, if it's bringing up something that moves you through a feeling, and doesn't mean have to escape a feeling or anything. I think it's just like I love seeing that reflection tool. Especially with like Moon, Mars, Venus in conversation with partner, because I think that can just illuminate so much in synastry of just how can we understand each other better.
Well, and that seems to be what's like at play if you're having a conversation, whether you're doing the exercise or not. Like you are probably communicating and conflicting from these places. So to have it be written down that way, where you're going, I'm intentionally going, where am I coming from these planets, I think gives another dimension to astrology, which normally is like, you know, your list of placements and you can read the, you know, description of what that means, but not necessarily like, what does that mean for me? Or how do I use this? What does this feel like, or anything? And I think that having a journal with these exercises is a great way for people to actually engage with their own placements in a way that gives them their own context, you know?
Yeah, and the engaging is like, yeah, it's like that's kind of the more fulfilling thing about astrology. And then it's tricky too. I was doing this meetup the other day where like, you know, just to like learn the four elements, like I was having people observe the behavior of water that they could see in their space. And that it's like water's behavior has so much contradictions. Like water can hide things, but it can reveal things too, because it cleanses. So I feel like that's in like every planet, every placement is like just, it's full of contradictions.
I think it's interesting in the water example too, because I'm in in the water a lot. Like I'm in the ocean a lot. And one of the things that like, and I think this speaks very much to Scorpio, but it's like everything underwater is a little bit distorted. So like you'll see things and you'll think that you can touch it, but it's way further away than you can actually reach. Or like color will be very different. So like even if you're filming something underwater, like it might look beautiful on camera, but when you're looking at it, you're like, I didn't see that like lavender color when you're under there. And so it's just it's interesting because I think there is this like pulling out from the deep that I think Scorpio does really well, which is like reporting back kind of thing. And I think, yeah, and each water sign has like a different way, I think, of doing both, like you're saying, clarifying and obscuring. And yeah, I think, and I mean, I think with, you know, fire is another simple example where it's like, yeah, it keeps you warm, burns you, like, you know, we have, it has many, many uses. Like we wouldn't probably have like restaurants without it or whatever, you know what I mean? But it's also like we experience in California wildfires.
Mm-hmm. This is a water aside. I can't remember if I brought this up on the podcast before, but have you guys heard of structured water? Like as a new drinking water for woo-woo people? Okay, I'll turn you on. An Aquarius, I'll actually send this to the group chat so you can see what I'm talking about. Oh, this is a good time to promo our YouTube. So you can watch us visually if you want to see
stuff
that. Well, maybe I'll just screen share for a second then. One second. Fuck a group chat. I'm going to share this real
quick. It for everyone.
Okay, and my very... my Green Witch Aquarius friend had this on their table and it was this like vortex spinning. This is not a sponsored ad, by the way, but it could be if you hit us up, Mayu Swirl, but it's a ceramic thing that like spins your water in this vortex. And I was looking at their counter and there's a spinning water over there. And I wasn't surprised because this is a friend that has lots of interesting woo things. I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh, well, if water, still stagnant water, kind of going back to like, I think we've seen Scorpio described as the swamp, right? Or whatever. It's like oxygenating and making like vortex. You put your crystals under it or what have you. But it's just like oxygenated, moving, alive water.
Oh, I've seen that with the cat drinking fountain too. Cause you use they want the fresh.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer the fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. They want it to feel like they found a stream and that something's like trickling out to them. Again, my friend was like, I have no idea if this is true, or I just like the look of it. And they're an Aquarius too, which felt very like the vessel and cool water sort of thing. So anywho, that just made me think of, but they're called structured water, which was just a term I thought was interesting. They're like restructuring the composite of it moving.
What would make sense? Again, I'm not a scientist. You know. But
you're off like the podcast. Shit, I'm going to have to change which charts we're on. We've been on the science and technology.
Sorry everybody. Not a scientist, but it does make sense to me that there would be something of a almost like dissolving of elements when it's sitting. It doesn't need to like hold itself together as opposed to when it's being moved. Now these like, I don't know, things are having to be structured, if that makes sense, in a way that's like not, I don't know what that would do for you internally, or like how, if it's maybe more oxygenated, because that's like what you need. You need oxygen to go and it's just like pure, you know, whatever, but that makes sense in a dumb bitch science kind of way.
When we write the woo-woo version of Get Out, that will be the teacup.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That will be the, yes, that's the omen of like, uh-oh, she's got a vortex water on the counter. Get it, run.
But I love that because I think that your journal and this elemental example and all this is like what all of this is about, because it's about learning about yourself and each other and how we communicate and how we can embody astrology, not just learning, as much as it is fun to learn information and facts and be able to recite off, you know, historical dates and why it was astrologically significant and everything like that. I think at its core, what people are drawn to about astrology and what we all find so exciting about it is that it is a way to be in touch with yourself and with the people in your life and to engage better and have better relationships and have, you know, a more, I don't know, a better experience here. It's like, you know, the emotional stuff of it. And so I think that that's all good. Like even elements, I think, are such a visceral thing that people, whether you are super astrologically knowledgeable or not, have a frame of reference for water, earth, air, fire. And that can be in and of itself such a rich, you know, thing to explore. And there's endless stuff. I mean, we could talk about it for hours.
It's true. Yeah. Like astrology helps you enjoy your personality. And then like, mm-hmm. yeah, like using water as a metaphor for like my personality is like water. How cool is that? It's like, it's elemental, it's magical. And like you have a real experience of it too, because everyone needs water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I try to tell myself every day when my alert goes off, like drink water, like getting up.
Everyone needs it. We all need it.
I tricked my cat into drinking it. I put it in her food.
Oh, smart. Like mixing it up. Oh, yeah. I saw your post recently about, well, I saw in the journal about the Mars dog, like dogs as Mars remediation for any like Marsy things. And you have like dogs activating Mars energy. And then I wrote down in my notes, I'm like, are cats Venus? And then I saw your post about cats being Saturn. I was like, interesting. Because like my thought too was like, oh, is it that one-to-one of like Mars? You know, very like cats and dogs, like Mars and Venus. But then I saw Saturn. I'm curious, if, since we're on cats, like what's Saturnian about cats?
Yeah, I mean, this is in some old texts that cats are Saturnian. Like maybe it's their sense of like just routine, discipline. They want to get up at the same time, and then they don't like to move too. So I mean, I was kind of thinking about it because your friend's in Aquarius with the running water. I was like, you know, cats are Saturnian as well, so like the structure water actually makes a lot of sense.
Well,
I think with Venus, there's some birds that are Venusian, but some are mercurial too, so it depends on the type of bird. There's like a wide variety of birds.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. I mean, people like release doves at weddings and things like that. That's very Venusian. I mean, I don't know if doves technically one of them, but like those kind of things. And then there are messenger birds and yeah, I don't know. Flamingo feels very Venus.
And that very presentational plumage, having that be their tactics for attracting mates or avoiding predators or things like that too, is to like be flamboyant and beautiful. Not all birds, obviously, but that feels very Venusian. I think that makes sense. Cats Saturnian, because I think also it's that like
you operate by their rules as well.
Yes,
like it's you're like, on their time.
not all cats, obviously, and not after time. But I think whenever someone talks about like developing a relationship with the cat, they will often refer to it as like you have to work to get their affection, you have to build trust with them, it's a routine, you know, all of those kinds of things. And most of the time it is like you're kind of cleaning up after them, but you don't necessarily see them and get the same affection that you do when one talks about a dog, you know, if we're doing the dichotomy of each other, which I don't think that we need to do because that's unfair to both animals. They are both, you know, perfect and beautiful in their ways. But that of like you're cleaning up a litter box, you know that the cat is there, but you aren't like they're not jumping on your face every morning, every day. Maybe your cat is, but that feels Saturnian. And they're night, aren't they nocturnal? Mm-hmm. Or like not truly, but like
they're dawn and dusk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they sleep for like 16 hours a day, and then 4 hours at dawn and 4 hours at dusk. That's like time to hunt. So they wait for the right time.
Yeah.
And then like when they hunt too, they're like, you know, they're still for most of the time, they conserve their energy. But then when they feel that it's the right time, they make the pounce.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's Saturnian as well.
For sure.
The cat, like you, because dogs are so instinctual and just, you know, like shiny object, yay, go. You know, no diss to dogs. It's just, that's what dogs give so much energy. And I always thought of like cats with witchcraft, right? Is like they're said to be rumor has it, like, cats absorb, right? They're taking, mm-hmm. like, that's why witches keep them around, because if there are people sending their evil eye to them, like, they absorb any of the negative energy. So that kind of, it makes mm-hmm. sense in that malefic sense, too, of, like, they're both protective, but, like, dogs in a more Mars pointed out way, like, a dog can, you know, sick them.
Attack.
And then, attack. And then a cat is, like, not in my house. not on this watch.
I also think if you look at it more as, like, in nature rather than domesticated animals, because when we have pets, like, we know their mm-hmm. personalities so well, it's hard to, like, get away from and see their behavior as a species or whatever. But if you think about, like, big cats or wolves, like, it's a very different, like, my dog, this 13-pound, like, follows me out of the room. It's not the same as a wolf, like, yeah. or a coyote in the wild. Like, same with cats. Like, yeah, sure. Like Julia's saying, maybe your cat jumps and licks your face, but like a tiger, you know, behaves differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It also make me think of Mars, just dogs and smell too. And that's very Scorpio Mars to me is like ruled.
Oh.
No stuff. I mean, now, again, you know, we can go on a tangent, but I love that.
So I've solar returns, because this is also mentioned in the journal. I'm just curious, general thoughts. I've been offering solar return readings, and I think for people, it's such a good way to condense the year. And I think there's usually like a fair cut way of using it, but I'm curious your thoughts on like the benefits of looking at a solar year or a solar return, or what you enjoy, you know, looking in a solar year ahead versus, of course, with astrology, we can look at everything kind of laid out, but looking at that kind of return chart as the signifier. Yeah, I'm just curious, why highlight the solar return, and what do you value in a solar return chart or reading or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I did start using solar return charts. And then, so I took a workshop on this. I feel like it was last year. And then, I mean, it's just one of the timing techniques that I use is the mm-hmm. solar return chart. But, and then I use other things to tell me like what to look for. So I usually look for the annual ruler in the solar return chart. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the moon as well. You know, and then, yeah, what else? Oh, and then I just look at the house position of the sun. Mm-hmm. So like different things, and then the solar returns expressed through the natal. So then like I look at the overlay, the synastry mm-hmm. between the mm-hmm. two. The exercise in the book, it's kind of just to help you process the year that you're coming from is mm-hmm. actually like all it is. And then it kind of takes you through like kind of monthly perfections in a way. Mm-hmm. They're really like simple and estimated, but it has you just kind of like consider that as a framework for looking at the year that you're leaving behind, because that's what you have information about. Is you don't have right. information about the coming year.
Mm-hmm. The reflection tools of astrology versus the, like, we can of course look ahead, but mm-hmm. it just packs such a punch when we like already have experienced life and be like, that was quite literal.
Again, too, I think it is a reminder of astrology is from our like subjective personal perspective, because our natal chart is like ours. And I think that solar return exercise of it just being like on your birthday, on your thing, reflecting on your experience that you for sure have insight into is again like a good aligning with astrology for like how to then approach something else, another transit that you might not have as much of a framework for. I think, you know, our birthday is one that whether you know about astrology or not, you have a birthday every year. And it is a time when people are often reflective and thinking about the year past, the years to come, where we're at and all of that. And I think kind of baking that into your understanding of how you reorient yourself each year to your chart is very cool.
Yeah, I like to think about the year that I'm coming from too, because mm-hmm. like I feel like when you have a birthday, you're like, oh, I'm turning this age, but like you're also leaving behind the last age too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Now I'm like, it's so wild if you have like software where you can, I've done this before where I've just clicked through every Solar Return, like, and it's just like matching it to what happens and then looking, but then you can also go, I could go 4 or 5+ years ahead and be like, well, we'll see. Like, well, curious how this will manifest itself. But yeah, I think that's like a good reminder of this. I think it, you can almost get better at predicting the future. I'm using air quotes, by understanding the past and like the these themes and patterns that come up in our previous life than astrology that's related to it.
Yeah, who was it? I heard that Abu Mishar said, like, when looking at solar returns, like, you can't look at the ones that are too far in the future, because you'll change your fate. Like, you don't have the information. You need to understand the solar return. And then so, yeah, and like it trips you out or something like that.
Did you see that article? I think it was, I'll find this, but there was an article in some like Business Insider. It was like in some like mainstream publication about this woman who goes to, like, she'll change her solar return chart with travel. Like, she'll be like, this astrologer told me I have to be in Alaska this year, so that way the sun is here, and, you know, like, chain going to these various places. I know some people do solar returns only from the place of birth and don't care about where you're currently located, but whoever quoted that would have hated this article then, because that is a real playing with fate.
That's interesting. I used to travel every year on my birthday. This was before I was studying astrology, so I wouldn't know. Like, I would have to go back to look how it really did affect things. But there was probably 6 years where that's like all I did for my birthday.
Would you be able to remember where you were to go back and do the charts?
Yeah, I could do it. I have like a lot of digital camera photos and stuff like that I could line it up with.
Yeah. And if it's like in the US, it's probably not going to be too, just the rising will be different, but like, yeah, this woman's going to like as I said, like Alaska, that really is going to change like the chart perspective, going to Italy, you know, going to all these really far places. I mean, she went to like places that were, I'll link it. It was very interesting that were, she's like, I don't know why I'm going to this small town alone on my birthday. It feels very insular. But then the following year, it was to like create more friendships, and then like got more friends from it or what have you. So anyways, it can be fun to play with. But then also it's like, what is that? Is it, yeah, well, there's something interesting with like the ethics of it being strictly for just changing your fate, because it's like, does it actually?
Well, but I wonder if it works.
Yeah,
because yeah,
he was saying it usually, like, does.
I usually like to look at the solar return for the place that you'll be living for the whole year.
Okay, where you're spending the most time.
Yeah. So I mean, you could change your fate by relocating for the duration.
Okay, this is what it's in the New York Times. I traveled 4,000 miles to spend my solar return in Alaska. I'll link this and I'll send it to you.
Well, I think it's like change your fate. I don't know, that's a whole, other discussion, but the idea of it being like, oh, well, I went and did a thing and I didn't know necessarily why, but I put myself in an experience at a place that I'd never been before, whatever, to go learn about friendship. That seems like a movie plot. Do you know what I mean?
Where it's like, very movie plot.
You went to a place where you didn't know anybody. You had to open your heart and mind. You had to go have a new experience. Mm-hmm. Now you're ready to like go be vulnerable and, you know, ask a coworker out for a lunch date or whatever, you know, whatever that is. Is that changing your fate, or is that allowing yourself to be like worked over by a process?
Well, it's interesting, you know? Too, because I mean, just Alaska, like, I know because I look at charts, but it's like they're going to have probably some intercepted houses in that chart too. And so, like, it is definitely something that your sun might be in a different house, or you might get this rising that you wanted, but there's also going to be other stuff that occurs naturally when you're traveling certain places. So,
Yeah.
My like final question, I feel like it's kind of baked in, but Ace, how do you hope people use aligning your planets? What is your dream for our listeners, for anyone who wants to get the journal? How do you hope that people are using it?
I mean, just in their own way, like maybe even making their own version of different exercises, spending time themselves, and then with their people too. Because speaking of, I mean, I do believe that you can change your fate with like your relationships with, you know, like changing your personality, and then just kind of like creating your own sense of the future too.
Sure.
Yeah. And then like healing is kind of changing your fate. So yeah, just using the book in their own way. Anyone.
Awesome. I love that.
No rules, just Astro. Experimentation encouraged.
Yes.
Should we end with a little game? Let's end with the game. As we do. I know we've played Mary Fuck Kill before. I can't remember who. Do you remember who we Mary Fucked Kill for your episode, Ace? I don't remember. It's been a while. I'm sure we'll refer.
I think I didn't know some of the people.
That often happens. We just go purely off of like Google image.
Google search.
Yeah. It's like, but we have a different one. We're just going to do a few rounds of Would You Rather Astro Edition. We each have one, I think.
Yes.
We'll see. Anyone want to start for Ace?
I can.
Yes.
All right.
So this is Would You Rather Roommate Edition.
Oh, shit.
So it's Would You Rather Live With a Messy Virgo or a Messy Libra? It's sun sign.
Let me think about this. You know, I would rather live with a Messy Libra.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the same thing, because I feel like the Messy Libra is kind of enacting their natal chart. The Messy Virgo is kind of not. And so they're probably more likely to be okay with that it's messy and be fun to be around, at least.
Well, I think Virgo, I've lived with some Messy Virgos, and then
I have too.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they want to be messy. I don't think that they're okay with it. That's what's hard.
Like the mess is like their process of cleaning, and then it's in the middle, and it's a little bit like, you know, just more stressful to walk around. I think Libras tend to hide more, so then they'll probably be just messy like in their
room. Yeah, yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, there can only be one earth sign with assigned piles in this household, so I think I would also take the Messy Libra. Just because I haven't experienced it. I've seen Virgo's calculated mess before, and it's just, I think I just need to leave. I think they need to do that in like alone, not with a roommate watching. Where I think the Libra would be like, can you help me do this? Like, can we do this together? Let's clean the kitchen together. And I'd be like, okay.
I don't know because I'm triggered. I've lived with a Messy Libra.
Uh-oh. I have too.
And,
I have two.
I had a neat and a messy and me in one house.
But the Messy Libra didn't know they were messy. The Virgo was like, I know and I see it and I'm getting to it. And the Libra was like unaware.
Yeah. I feel like I might go Virgo only because I too am a messy, compartmentalized. Like if it's just like leave their stuff alone, I can do that. But I'm thinking, again, I'm maybe personalizing this too much, but in my experience, the Libra is moving my stuff too. Mm-hmm. And I is also when they're cleaning up, they're going, oh, I'm actually going to clean up for the whole house. And now I don't know where my passport is or whatever. Whereas like, cause my pile was in this thing too. And I kind of want that like separate, I don't want someone doing anything nice for me when it comes to this kind of cleanup stuff. So I think I'm going to go Virgo.
I think I'm going back to Virgo, actually. You're right. I think I might get messed. I think I might get lumped into Libra's mess, and I can't.
Yes. And it's with the best of intentions and a pure heart. No, I just
realized, is this also personally messy? Because then that's a whole different type of messy living with as well.
I left it open ended. Yes. I feel like the Libra is more personally messy, but I don't want to, you know, be prescriptive.
Mm-hmm. You hear that, Libra?
I don't mind that in a room, in a living situation. That's fun, you know. But
yes, give me your drama, give me your gossip. I can't believe I'm meeting all of your Hinge dates. Why do you bring them over here? Like, how did they end up here? Yeah, I think I'll go Virgo.
All right, who's next? Right.
Okay, I guess I don't know if I did this game correctly, but this is mainly for Ace, and it's a would you rather. Actually, this will apply for everybody. If you were forced to flip one of your placements in your big three to the sign in opposition, you can only pick one, and that is a permanent change. Ace, would you now become a Libra sun, a Capricorn moon, or a Leo rising? So these are all the opposition flips of Ace's big three.
I would become a Leo rising.
And that I kind of gave, that was a softball. That was a softball one. Once I got to the end, I was like, I think I know which one's getting picked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, my best friend's an Aries sun, Leo rising. So is my cousin. I love them both a lot. They're cool.
Damn. Right. Easy flip.
Easy.
For y'all.
I would flip my sun.
You'd become a breaking news. Wow. Breaking news.
Well, I'd still have the Taurus rising, so
I
would get to have the, I think I'd flip my sun to be on the descendant, and I would, because I'm not going to change to a cat moon when it's in its domicile.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, I like seventh my house rising.
Sun, cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. At first I was like, oh, I don't know if I want any of these, but then it became very obvious to me. I'm flipping my rising for sure. I'm becoming an Aries rising, giving me that like natural chart and that fire. Now my sun, I still have, I have a sun sextile my rising, but now I have a trine and I think that's the math.
Mm-hmm. Shit. I don't want to flip any of mine. Like, do I even agree with what I'm about to say? I can't. No. I think I would also maybe flip my, all these flips suck personally. I think I would flip to Taurus sun being a Scorpio sun. I can't lose my Aries moon. I am too attached and I don't want it to change position from my rising. So I don't want to flip that either. So I think I'll just take one of the team, and I'll still have my Taurus Venus. Like I'm justifying the like how little will change. So maybe I should become a Capricorn.
We're defying the laws of astrology here, where our Venuses can stay the same, our Mercuries can stay where they are.
Yes. It's we're no longer
beholden to astronomy in this universe.
Before you come for me, it's a game for fun. Maybe I'm a Scorpio sun magnet, so maybe I'll attract more Tauruses in this new flipped alternate simulation.
We'll both be Scorpios, so it'll be, I know, we'll have to go out and do something that, I know, night,
to celebrate
on our Freaky Friday night.
Yes.
Okay. I'm here for it. Okay, my question is, would you rather have a faster moving Pluto that moves like through at like a Mercury speed,
holy shit.
Or one, the same Pluto for all of eternity, like a no
in
moving.
The same sign.
Yes.
Interesting.
What sign is it in?
Yeah.
Does it have to be where it is right now?
No, I just mean like you get like the one transit. Do we want like a faster Pluto or a slower Pluto?
This is a tough question.
Yeah.
Ace, you're deciding the astronomical future for civilization and society.
Dang, that's so hard. Yeah. I'm like, you're a Sag, right? Like, that's a hard question. Like, it's kind of like
okay, I'm good. Because I feel like mostly when I come up with would you rathers, in my mind, it's like, this is going to be a good one. And then I say it, and there's like a very obvious right answer.
It is a good one. So I was like, oh my God. Like, no change or like a lot of change all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess a lot of change on the time, Mercury speed Pluto. Cause like if there's no
let's
change,
just do this already.
Mm-hmm. If Pluto's not moving, like, I mean, we would be dead is also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I think I take death.
Wow.
I think I choose the I'm Taurus, so I think I choose that. Yeah, just let me fester in my little disgusting.
Could I vote for like a Mars like speed? Like, can I petition for? Because Mercury, this quickness of Mercury that's frightening, you know. But it also sounds really innovating.
I know that's what I'm imagining. I was like, what if we change signs like every month?
What if we're innovating to the point where what I do in my house, closets crumbling in on you and other things you've made so much new that it's actually not structurally sound.
Because as much as one Pluto is death, to me that also is like, oh, we're like truly, you just have like the one thing you have to transform for your lifetime and you get a lifetime to do it. There's some like pressure that comes off almost. I know it's still like stagnant and not enough change, but yeah, I think in contrast to constantly, I mean, I don't even know which one I want to choose.
I'm voting for Mercury, but under the condition that now folks who don't believe that Scorpio must ruling planet must be Pluto, and we're recognizing that as their chart ruler for Scorpio risings, and that's my clause, because now it's moving so I know that's like another part is like, so we all have, you know, this rising with the outer planet, so now, honey, okay, you don't. It's moving it's moving so quick, this is for sure your rising, so deal with
what
that.
If there was like a cylindrical Pluto that wrapped around the solar system like a ring and it was in every single sign all the time?
Okay.
Oh, all Plutos. Oops, all constant. Plutos. Yeah. 12 Plutos coming. Oh, and just move. There might even be.
That sounds like Pluto. That sounds honestly
cool. I like where this went.
Wow. I've really given myself an impossible one part of my chart wants one Pluto to rule them all. And the other part is like, nah, let's mix it up. But the idea of like a single Pluto.
All right, Logan, pick one.
I'm gonna go one Pluto.
I'm going fast Pluto, and it sounds like Ace nominated 12 new, yes. 11 new Pluto.
Yes, all of the Plutos. Well, thank you so much for playing with us. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people get Aligning Your Planets?
Oh, they can get it anywhere they get books. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks for having me. I mean, it's so fun to play with all of you. Yeah.
Same. We'll have to IRL connect one of these days.
Oh, please. Yes, absolutely. By Aligning Your Planets, follow Alice Sparkly Cat on all platforms. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to What's Your Sign? Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love this podcast, please support us. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/whatsyoursignpodcast. The link to support us is in the show notes.
Follow us on Instagram at What's Your Sign Podcast, on Twitter at @whatsyrsign_pod, and TikTok at What's Your Sign Podcast. For business opportunities, advertising, or commission readings, email us whatsyoursignpodcast@gmail.com.
WYS is produced by Julia Loken, Stevie Anderson, and Lisa Chenu. Artwork by Alexa Vicious and theme song by Honor Nezzo.